So this morning, I might wrap this series up. I'm not sure. But I want to stay in the book of Acts and look at the next person who comes on the radar, the Apostle Paul. His good work that came out of the grace he received. And we see that next to Jesus Christ himself, Paul is the most influential person in Christendom. Next to Jesus. And he didn't know it during his lifetime, because he ended his life with just a couple of friends. The end of the book of Acts. Spent 2 years preaching the gospel to small little groups. He didn't think he was the greatest thing since Jesus Christ, the work he was called to do. But you know, when he looks back in eternity, he's going to get a surprise. Because the rest of the book of Acts and the churches that were established and the epistles that were written was the foundation of what became Christendom. Paul had a huge influence. Say influence. Because that's what I want to talk about this morning. The good work that comes out of grace. Influence. Some people say that's what leadership's all about. Influence. Influence is what we leave behind. And that influence can either be positive or negative. I mean, let's just use politics. And I throw out the word Robert Mugabe and the word Mother Teresa, and you can see how influence can swing both ways. The Apostle Paul himself, for most of his early life, before Christianity, he was persecuting the church. That's influence, guys. To be able to get those Roman soldiers going into homes and uprooting households and having people killed and imprisoned. He had an influence. But influence can either be negative, influence can be to destroy, or influence can be to build up. And that's the good work that we've been called to. I want to tell you this morning, you have got influence. You might not know it, and we've all got different levels of influence, but you have got influence. And there's three things I saw in the life of Paul that I believe will help us understand this important topic. And the first one is intimacy. Nothing came close for Paul than to experience the joy of knowing Jesus. The first one was intimacy. I'm going to share three of these. And because they start with I, it'll help you remember them when we come back and finish with this subject of influence, which also starts with an I, if you're tracking with me. Isn't that very deep, eh? I didn't even need Greek to do that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes by the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ. And the power of His resurrection, fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Nothing came closer for Paul than Jesus Christ. To experience intimacy, closeness, fondness, and fellowship with Him. In this life, and even he said, when I'm dying, and even in my death and resurrection, I want to know intimacy with Jesus. First and foremost, can we say with Paul, whatever was to my profit, I consider loss. And he had a great repertoire. He had a great CV. He had lots of credentials. And he says, those things, compared to knowing Jesus, they're rubbish. And he used a very strong word there. I don't want to use the word, it's a four-letter word, and it's got a terrible smell, but I don't want to use it in church. That's the word he used to describe the comparison between all his achievements and what he thought would be this grandeur of his influence in the world compared to the knowledge of Jesus. I consider them dung that I may gain Christ. I want to know Christ. Isn't that a beautiful experience? When you think of the life that you're living as a Christian. If you're going to have influence, it's going to start in a place of intimacy. Knowing Him. Considering everything's inferior to to the knowledge of who he is. Secondly, we see that flowing out of this intimacy, the second thing in the life of Paul that stands out, the second R is impartation. And the same way Jesus only began his ministry out of a baptism of the Holy Spirit, Paul's ministry started out of that encounter when he received the power of God. And look how it affects how he prays. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16. I pray out of his glorious riches that you may be, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work. Say his power. It's at work in me. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations. Wow. Forever and ever. Out of his intimacy to know and his longing and his desire to be connected with Jesus in a loving devotion of knowing Christ comes this overwhelming filling that took place in his life. Filled, first of all, just with a measure of the fullness of God. That means that when the cup is filled and it starts running over the top, that's filled to the measure. There's nothing left that can be filled. When you, at this stage of just the love of God gets inside of you, you know that there was nothing you could make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do that can make God love you less. But the experiencing of that width and height and depth is transformational. There's a filling of the love which is the same as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The early Methodist revival, they called it the second experience of the baptism of love. The Pentecostals came 150 years later and just called it a baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it was really the same thing. It was when the love of God is poured into you and it's compressed and just overwhelms your life. Have you felt the love of God like that in you? Out of a place of just being lost in his presence. I know a Wednesday morning, our prayer time, there was just a moment. If the other guys felt it, maybe it was just for me. But we were worshiping and we went from prayer and intercession into just, it's all about God. And there was just a moment I was just like transfixed and I thought, if I just came for these 5 minutes, it would have made it worth it. Another 5 minutes, we're going to have breakfast together, also makes it worth it. But those 5 minutes were just, wow. I saw Jesus, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. And I felt the filling of the Spirit on the inside. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Thirdly, the third ingredient that I see in the life of Paul, next to intimacy and impartation that led to this amazing influence that he had, was the subject of identity. In the same way that Jesus knew who he was, when he heard the voice out of heaven that said, this is my beloved son. Jesus knew who he was when he said, it is written. Paul likewise, in Galatians chapter 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, out of an intimate connecting with Christ as the first thing of importance in my life that brings in the flood of his love and the baptism of his Spirit on my inner being, I come to know who I am in this world. And as he is, so am I in this world. As he is, so are you in this world. There was a time you walked in your identity in first Adam. The Bible contrast this first Adam and last Adam. There was a time you were in first Adam. First Adam was full of fear. That's why he ran away. First Adam was full of guilt. That's why he hid. First Adam was full of anguish and pain and hardship and suffering. But Bible speaks about last Adam. Last Adam came to live the perfect life you could never live. And he came to live it not just for himself. He came to live it as if it was you living it so that he could give you the free gift of a perfect life that you could never earn, you could never deserve. And he said, that's grace. That's the new covenant. In this covenant, I will remember your sins no more. In this covenant, I will never be angry with you. In this covenant, I will declare blessing over your life for eternity beginning right now. Jesus made a better covenant. And now we are in Christ. We are in last Adam. We have a new identity. We have a qualified identity. When the enemy looks at you, he sees you covered in Jesus. He sees as if Jesus got out of bed and walked into life. You might not feel like it, and often we don't feel like it. We look in the mirror and say, oh dear Jesus, who could love that person? But God looks down at you and he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I've made a covenant, and I've placed you in my Son and seated you in heavenly places where Christ shows forth the glory of the Father. We are in last Adam. Paul had a revelation of when he said this Galatians chapter 2. He remembered who he was. He knew who he was. He knew what he'd been called to do. And out of this place, he walked in an influence. It says in Romans 15 verse 10, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit, from Jerusalem, all the way around Europe, all the way through Turkey, all the way up through Spain, I fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Is that influence? No email, no Twitter, no Facebook, no you twit face, no planes, no ships, no. He impacted the known world. I tell you what, my friend, that comes from more than just having a powerful personality. That comes from more than just stubborn determination. That comes from an encounter that he had with the living Jesus. When he was on that road and Jesus appeared to him, from then he takes off 3 years just because he wanted to get with Jesus. He got into a place of intimacy where he says, everything else I consider rubbish that I may know this Jesus. I'm going to know him in my life. I'm going to know him in my death. I'm going to even know him in my resurrection. And from that place, he is filled to the measure. Have you felt the passion tugging in your heart that says, I want to know Jesus like that? Have you felt a passion that says everything else is done compared to the surpassing knowledge? That you can stand up and look in the mirror and say, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm no longer depending on my righteousness. I'm no longer depending on my skills and personality and charm. I'm clothed by another. Do you feel maybe you're disqualified? I've tried so hard. I get up every day and make New Year's resolutions, but I keep failing. Well, this message comes to qualify you. This message doesn't come to disqualify you. You want to walk in influence. You already got influence. It's either good influence or bad influence. And if you feel like your circles of influence need to increase, so does your intimacy. So does that impartation of His love and His Holy Spirit on the inside of you, filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And so that you come to a place of identity. You know who you are in Christ. And all the forces of hell cannot change your mind anymore. Because you used to think you were wormy, but now you know you're worthy. You used to think you were rubbish, but Jesus said, I call you sons and daughters of the Most High God, my brothers and sisters. Influence. You call to influence. That's your good work. You're going to the office tomorrow. You're going to the school tomorrow. You say, Lord, I want to change my environment. I want to see the city changed. By the way, we've been praying for this area for some time. I'm telling you what, this side of Pinetown is going to look really smart one of these days. The roads, the flats, the areas are going to reflect that there's a people that come from all over as missionaries on a Sunday to pray and intercede, and people in this area are going to rise up, and we're going to see a different environment around this part of the city, just because we're here. Just because we're here, without really even saying, let's put a program together. We're going to see the good works God has given us start to manifest in our community. You've got an influence. You've got an influence. I've got an influence. We've got an influence. Some are in different areas than others. Can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Do you want to stand up, please, to your feet? And I want to pray that God will increase. Maybe you're not Paul in Europe 2,000 years ago, but you're Rob in Durban today. You're Mark in Durban today. You're Dave in Durban today. And through those same signs and wonders and miracles, as this last scripture just comes up on the screen. This is what Paul says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. Say effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Good works, prepared in advance. Yet, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So Lord, right now, we just raise our hands to you and ask for a download of heavenly grace. That you'll open the eyes of our understanding to know the width and the breadth and the height of your love. I pray for people here this morning, Lord, who are feeling, I used to know Jesus like that. I used to have a passion in my heart for Him. I used to see His face in every sunrise. I used to experience His very fragrance. But I don't know, it doesn't seem to be there anymore. Lord, I pray for them right now that You will increase the knowledge of Your presence over their lives. That their intimacy with You will go from strength to strength. Lord, they'll find themselves in, just caught up in heavenly revelation as You begin to pour out love, that You'll pour out revelation, that You'll pour out your filling of Your Spirit on the inside, where they'll say, God, I don't even know if I can take much more. I'm exploding. I'm going to burst any minute. Just Your love will overwhelm and overcome them, Lord. And that they will look in the mirror and say, as He is, so am I in this world. Because it's no longer I who have lived, but it's Christ who lives in me. I was crucified when Jesus was crucified. I was buried and I've been raised again. And nothing is going to compare to the beauty of serving Him. Come on, church. Let's say, Lord, we're in agreement with this. We're in agreement with this word. And then, Lord, we ask for an influence to spread that's beyond 1+1. It's exponential. If you're standing here this morning and you're saying, I've never received that grace. I've never been born again. I've never committed my life to Jesus Christ. How do I do that? My friend, He's made it so basic in His promise that all we have to do is ask. And how do we ask? We pray. Prayer is another word for asking. So right now, if that's you and you're saying, that's what I want to do, don't you want to ask right now? I'll help you by just leading you in a prayer. And you can just follow with me. In fact, we'll all say it so that we encourage you. But you praying it for yourself, you know who you are. Say after me, Father God, thank You for Jesus. That only He could live the perfect life. And He lived it for me. So that if I put my faith in Him, He'll credit me with His perfect, righteous, holy life. By faith, I receive the gift. I'm forgiven and I'm qualified. Amen.